I wasn't able to see clearly from where I was sitting, but this is an excellent Monday night attendance. Start off the weeknights with a full church is most encouraging. I've been on the island many times. I've preached in many places, in Patchogue, Levittown, Syosset, Merrick, but I don't think we've ever had a Monday night audience like this. Now, this is so-called Holy Week, and I don't know of anything that we could do to honor God more than to set aside the evenings and be in God's house. And I think tonight is a good evidence that we're going to have a grand week together. Now, how many of you remembered to pray for the meeting when you thanked God for your food today? May I see your hands? But Pastor, how'd you do last night? Did you have a snack after the service last night? No, I most people do Sunday night. No, most people have a snack Sunday night after church, don't they, brother? That's a common thing, to go to somebody's house and open a keg of nails and have a little fellowship somewhere. Well, keep praying now, and I'm sure that we've seen some evidence already of the prayers. Now, in the event that you don't know what this is all about, if you weren't here yesterday, when we thank the Lord for our food, we're just adding on to our word of grace, and Lord, bless the meeting in the church tonight. So we've got several hundred prayers reaching God's throne of grace in behalf of the meetings here in Wontaw, New York. I could tell you a little story. Maybe it wouldn't set well with some of you Wontaw folks. I met a man from Wontaw down in Florida. He was anything but a Christian, and it'd be wonderful if he could be reached for the Lord. And sometime, Pastor, remind me to tell you the story of a man I met in Sarasota, Florida, from Wontaw, New York. I'll not tell it tonight. It'll take too much time. Now, you're all curious. Especially the women. Something about a woman that she just naturally, intuitively curious. We men, we don't, that nothing bothers. But the women there, a little on the curious side. Well, let's pause for a further word of prayer, and then we'll open our Bibles. Loving Father, we thank Thee for this day. It has been a good day. We might have ended up in a hospital, in an institution, maimed, halt, even dead. But Thou hast spared us and brought us to this hour. And we are deeply grateful for life and health tonight. And we bring to Thee, dear Lord, those who are suffering tonight. First, the Christians who love Thee, who have been laid aside. May their illness glorify Thee and edify them. We pray that through the sorrows and tragedies and heartaches of life, many who are not saved will come to know our Lord Jesus. Father, bless Thy word tonight as it goes forth. We pray that all of us who are Christians will be strengthened and edified. And if anyone came tonight who is not a Christian, we pray that tonight that one will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Now, I'm the world's worst preacher at giving spectacular topics and titles. I haven't announced a single topic for this week. When I was a pastor, I never did thrive on spectacular or sensational topics. If I was preaching through a book, the newspaper simply said, "Studies in Ephesians or Daniel," wherever we were preaching. But if I were to give our message tonight a title, I think I would call it How to Raise the Dead. And I suppose that might interest some folks. I don't know. I didn't announce it because I didn't know yesterday what I'd be speaking about tonight. But I want to talk to you on how to raise the dead. Now, of course, at once, you know that I'm not talking about the physically dead. By the way, here's a word for some of the phony healers who run around the country, and I hope you don't support any of them. Would you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 10? This is a Bible conference, and it's good to use our Bibles and see what they say. There are a lot of phony healers running around the country and getting rich off of some very foolish people who don't know their Bibles. By the way, I believe in divine healing. But I don't believe in divine healers. But I do believe in divine healing. See, I believe that God can heal any disease except one. There's one disease that God can't heal. And this is where the phony healers crack up. They don't know this. If they do, they don't practice it. The one disease that God can't heal is the last one. See, when your number comes, you're going. That's it. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. And these phonies don't know when that is. And that's why there's so many disappointments when people follow divine healers instead of God, who is the divine healer. I want to read some verses from Matthew chapter 10. This is the chapter the fake healers latch on to. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Whenever you read and study your Bible, always ask yourself two questions. Number one, who said it? Who said it? There are some statements in the Bible that were spoken by the devil. I want to know who said it. That's important. And the second question you must always ask yourself when you read your Bible is, to whom was it said? Not everything in the Bible was spoken to me and to you. To whom was it said? Now, Jesus is speaking here, so that puts the seal of approval on what is being said. But to whom is it spoken? It's spoken to the 12 disciples. And then it's so specific that he goes on to name them. Verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first is... No, I won't name one of the phonies. I won't name the famous radio preachers and fellows who pitch their tents and milk people of money. I was going to slip in a couple of names here and be facetious. But the names are given. There are 12 of them. Read them. The first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. These are the apostles. To whom was it spoken? Now verse 5 said, These twelve Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Now, if these phony healers want to use this passage, why do they go to Gentiles? Why just don't they go to the Jews? You see, they wrest from this chapter what's convenient. Verse 6, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. I never saw one of these phony healers ever raise anybody from the dead. That's what the Bible said. If that's the chapter they want to latch on to. If on the basis of this chapter they want to come to Long Island this summer and pitch their tent, then why don't they raise the dead? Because Jesus isn't speaking to these modern healers. He's talking to the 12. Here's another one for them. Verse 9, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. Why do these guys always have to take an offering? Jesus said, you 12, when you go out healing the sick and raising the dead, don't take any offerings, don't bother about money. Well, you couldn't get one of these fakers to come to your town without bleeding the people for money. Well, I think you've seen enough here. I don't think we need any more. That's not the kind of raising the dead I want to talk about tonight. You know, dear folks, there's a death that is more serious and solemn than physical death. I've been deeply moved by the ceremonies connected with the death and the coming burial of our late President Dwight David Eisenhower. Deeply moved. But more solemn than the death of Mr. Eisenhower would be his second death if he were not saved. I said if, and I don't know. Will you turn with me to the book of the Revelation? And when you found the last book in the Bible, turn please to chapter 20. Chapter 20 of the book of the Revelation. My eyes were on the word resurrection when I said that. Verse 6. Revelation 26. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. My eyes were resting on that word. On such, now watch this, the second death. And what does that mean? That means the second kind of death. There are two kinds of death. The word death in the Bible is always synonymous with the word separation. Whenever you find the word death in the Bible, every time, 10 times out of 10, you can replace it with the word separation. There are two kinds of death. There's the first kind of death and the second kind of death. This is the second kind of death referred to here. The first kind of death is the death that Mr. Eisenhower just experienced. It's the separation of the spiritual part of Mr. Eisenhower from his body. All men must die that way. It is appointed unto man once to die, the only exception being the living saints at the time of the rapture. That's the first kind of death. If I were to drop dead on this platform tonight, and Pastor Hoover would come up and say, call me by my name and talk to me, I wouldn't answer him. Wouldn't it? Not that I'm mad at him. You say, well, why don't you answer him? Because I'm not here. The body's here, but I'm not here. I separated from my body. That's the first kind of death. Now, the second kind of death is a solemn death. It's the separation of the whole man from God for all eternity. That's the death spoken of here. Just go over in this chapter a little later and notice verse 14. Death and hell or Hades were cast or emptied into the lake of fire. This is the second death. But look at chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's spiritual death. Now, when we were born into the world, we were born spiritually dead. Dr. E. Schuyler English wrote the biography of the late Dr. Ironside. The book has a title and a subtitle. The title of the book is Ordained of the Lord. Dr. Ironside had a Plymouth Brethren background, and he was never ordained by any group of men, never had the laying on of hands. He felt that God had ordained him, and that was the only ordination he needed. John 15:16 was his text. He was ordained of the Lord and a great minister of the Word of God. The subtitle of that book, The Man Who Was Born Dead. The Man Who Was Born Dead. Now, what Dr. English meant is that Dr. Ironside, when he came into this world, was born spiritually dead. Now, there's a reason for that. There are two things that are inseparably linked together in the Bible. They are sin and death. Genesis 2:17, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Sin and death inseparably linked together. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin and death inseparably linked together. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin, entered into the world, and death by sin. So then death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin and death, inseparably linked together. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin and death, inseparably linked together. James 1:15, lust when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin and death, inseparably linked together. Now the kind of death in these verses is the spiritual death. That separation from God. And my dear friends, every unsaved person, while physically alive, is spiritually dead. 2 Timothy 1:5, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Dead while she liveth. People say, I'm living it up. You're dying it down if you're unsaved. You're not living it up. Outside of Christ, you're dead while you live. Physically alive, but spiritually separated from God. I have a dear friend who might be known to some of you. He's getting along in years, but still very active in the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. He's retired from the active pastorate. He often says he retired from the pastorate to go into full-time Christian service. That wouldn't make you feel good, brother. But that's Dr. Andrew Telford. And my friend Dr. Telford, he's along in his 70s now, and when Mrs. Telford had the children, in those days you had your babies at home. You didn't bother going to a hospital. They have specialists for all that stuff now. But the lady next door was the specialist. She usually came in, did all the work, and the baby was born. Everything was done by the time the doctor got there in his horse and buggy. And Mrs. Telford gave birth to a baby when Dr. William R. Newell, a Bible teacher of great fame, was conducting a week of meetings in Dr. Telford's church. And the baby was born. The lady next door down the road came up, and then the doctor arrived, and he okayed everything. Wonderful how the doctor okayed everything after God took care of everything. Well, anyhow, the doctor came in, and he okayed everything, wrote out the birth certificate, and Dr. Telford said to the doctor, he said, doctor's a boy or girl? He said, a boy. He said, May I go in and see him now? Doctor said, yeah, I think it'll be all right. May I take my friend Dr. Newell in, see the baby? Oh, yes, I think that'll be all right. So they walked into the bedroom, and Mrs. Telford just pulled the covers down a little bit, and there was that spanking brand new baby boy. And Dr. Telford threw his chest out, and he turned to Dr. Newell. He said, well, Bill, what do you think of him? Dr. Newell said, he's a dirty old sinner. If he doesn't get saved, he's going to hell. What a way to have someone talk about a newborn baby. Now, you have to know Dr. Newell. You have to know Dr. Newell. He was speaking scripturally. Scripturally. Now, dear friends, the gospel is simply the message of how people pass out of death into life. If you're separated from God spiritually tonight, it's because you're spiritually dead. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. Now, three times in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus raised people from the dead, bodily, literally, physically. I believe that there were more than those three. But there are three records in the New Testament, instances where Christ came and actually brought people back from the dead. And tonight we want to draw some lessons from these three resurrections to help us to see how we can help raise the dead. That's the business of the church. Raising the dead, the spiritually dead. Reaching out to people who are separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that's the business of the church. The business of the church is to present the message of life, that the spiritually dead, separated from God, can receive eternal life and be brought back to God. Now we want to examine these three resurrections and apply some lessons spiritually. Turn in your Bible to the first of these in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5. I want to read, beginning with verse 20 or 21. Mark, boys, Matthew, Mark, the second book in the New Testament. Chapter 5, verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the story in between, but he was sidetracked. A woman came and stopped him, and it seemed as though he had completely forgotten that man, who said, Come, my little daughter's dying. And he becomes involved with this woman. Now, verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Your daughter died. Thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when he had put them all out, he was speaking here of the future tense. That girl's going to be back to life. They knew she was dead. When he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumi, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12, and they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now watch. What did Jesus do to bring that girl back to life? Watch, verse 41. He said, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. He simply spoke. My dear friend, do you know the purpose of this Bible conference? The purpose of this Bible conference is to teach and preach the Bible. Because the Bible is the Word of God. And it is the living Word of God, the life-giving Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is the seed whereby people are saved. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Nobody ever got saved apart from the word of God. I'm repeating, nobody ever got saved apart from the word of God. He spoke, and that girl came back to life. My friend, when we listen to God speak, It is then that faith is quickened. And when we believe that faith, or that word that was spoken to us, then we pass out of death into life. Now, how do we know that she was alive? Did you notice the last verse? He charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. They knew she was alive because she ate. One of the evidences, my dear friend, of salvation, one of the marks of regeneration, one of the proofs that a person has passed out of death into life is that they have a spiritual appetite for spiritual food. You want to eat spiritual food. I find it very difficult in my 31 years in the ministry to believe that people are saved who claim to be saved but who have no desire for the Word of God. My dear friend, if you have no desire to eat food, you're sick. If you can't eat table food, good, wholesome table food, there's something wrong with you. If you say, I can't eat, can't enjoy my food, something wrong. And when you can't enjoy the spiritual food of the Word of God, then you're spiritually sick. And anyone would have a right to question whether or not you ever passed out of death into life. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. Psalm 119, verse 145. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my pathway. John 15:3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Ephesians 5:25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. When you have a spiritual appetite, it's a pretty good sign you have spiritual life. If your Bible is a closed book, my friend, then you better check up on yourself and find out if you've ever really been born again. I want to say a word about this first resurrection. The three resurrections, by the way, touch three different phases of life. The first one was a little girl, the second was a young man, and the third was an adult. I would like to stress tonight the value and the importance of child evangelism. I have two sons. One, our baby, is 28. Our older son is 36. And both of our boys are in the ministry. I didn't choose it for them. I would never choose a vocation for my children. I would counsel with them. I would seek to guide them. I would like to pray with them to discover what their aptitudes are and their capabilities and counsel in that way. But I would never tell any of my children they ought to do this or that. They must find themselves. We must counsel and guide with them. My boys chose the ministry because they believed God called them. But my older boy, who was 36, I had the joy and privilege of leading to Christ when he was 7 years of age. Don't you ever underestimate the value and the importance of child evangelism. I want to say something to you kindly, and you take it in the spirit in which I'm saying it. These young people and these boys and girls are a whole lot better off than the children watching TV tonight. Whether it sets well with you or not, my friend, I'm telling you the truth. And if no one ever told it to you before, it's about time somebody did. They're a whole lot better off. These young people are far better off tonight than the kids out on the street and in the billiard halls and in the movies and watching TV. A lot better off. And every Christian here who's walking in fellowship with God, you know I'm telling the truth. And those of you who don't know where your children are tonight, you're squirming a little bit, but it's because you ought to know. Not because I said it. Because you're ashamed that you don't know where they are. Child evangelism. All never underestimate the importance of teaching children the things of God. That's the place to start to raise the dead. Children need to be born again. Now, I could preach our Lord's sermon, but I'm not going to because you're going to be out of here by 9 o'clock. That's our promise. But the sermon's in the 18th chapter of Matthew. If you don't believe that every child is potentially lost, I said potentially. Don't you go out of this church and say that the preacher said if a baby dies, that baby goes to hell. I didn't say that. I don't believe that. I said potentially lost. That's what Dr. Newell was saying to Dr. Telford. If your baby grows up to the age of accountability and doesn't get saved, he'll be lost forever. Every child is potentially lost. We seem to magnify criminals, former criminals. Get a fellow who's been a dope addict or a murderer or a rapist or a bank robber and he gets converted. We barnstorming across the country is a great miracle. I'll tell you a greater miracle. A greater miracle is one of these boys getting saved before they ever become rapists or murderers or bank robbers. That's a greater miracle. 1,000 times greater to have one of them saved before they ever get that law. We got to get busy with this business of evangelizing our youth. Now let's move on to the second resurrection from the dead. And this time I'm going to ask you to turn to the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. The 7th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I want to read beginning with verse 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Hey, 7:11. Now, how do you like that? Chapter 7, verse 11. Oh, don't you get any nasty thoughts about me now, huh? Said 7:11. That's the name of a store chain. There's a store. Yes, oh, yo, all over the country, they have these 7-Eleven stores. They open at 7 in the morning, close 11 at night. Haven't you seen them? Oh, you don't get around, some of you folks. 7:11 here, a loop. It came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not, I like to meet men with compassion. Mr. Nixon's eulogy of Mr. Eisenhower, he said, one of the reasons why the man was famous and loved is because he loved. People loved him because he commanded that respect. He loved people. He was a man of compassion. You know why some parents don't get the love and respect of the children? Because some parents are not very compassionate. I've seen some hot-tempered parents who didn't have much compassion. Jesus was a man of compassion. Oh, God, give me some of the compassion of my Lord. I need it. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Life comes by the same means, the word. Each time, the word. And he that was dead sat up. And how did they know he was alive? They knew the little girl was alive because she began to eat, and they knew the young man was alive because he began to speak. Say, when you pass out of death into life, it changes your whole conversation. You become a walkie-talkie for God. Your talk and your walk dovetail beautifully when you pass out of death into life. A whole conversation changes. It's interesting how when a man gets saved, he likes to listen to different kind of talk, and he speaks a little differently. I was in a meeting, not a meeting, a fellowship with some pastors. And one of them was telling us a story how that some years ago he was in a meeting. with some men. And their wives had gathered. And the wives all went to an outer room to help get the glasses and refreshments and plates. And one of the men said, "Say, now that the women are going," he said, "come on, we'll tell you something." And one of the men said, "Is it something that you couldn't tell in the presence of the women?" He said, "Yeah." "Well," he said, "if you'll just excuse me, I'll go out with the women." He never told it. He never told it. The whole atmosphere was changed. Walkie-talkie. They knew this lad was alive, the way he spoke. How's your conversation these days? Can you lie? Still claim to be a Christian? Bible says, lie not one to another. They knew he was alive. Quickly, let's turn to the gospel according to John and the famous 11th chapter. This is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Dear Mary, I love Mary. I spoke at a women's club in Miami, Florida, some years ago, not too many years ago, and it was not a Christian group, it was a club, some community club. They saw in the newspaper that I was going to be there, and I'd just come from the jungles of South America, and they wanted me to come and talk about jungles and give them a little travel log. And I didn't intend to do that, though. And so the lady who was directing the thing, very well-to-do woman, she had a pair of glasses on a long pole. And when she met me, she said, doctor, she said, could you possibly give me a topic for the newspaper? I said, yes, ma'am, I would be glad to. I said, just put in the newspaper, I will speak on the subject, I am in love with two women. Oh, she said, I could never put that in. I said, why not? That'll draw a crowd, girlie. Put it in. We'll get people. And, she put it in. We packed the place. One of the women I was in love with was Mary. I was going to bring a biographical sketch on Mary for the blessing of these women who were there. I sure love Mary. By the way, three times in the New Testament you find Mary. And every time you find her, she's at Jesus' feet. Did you ever notice that, Pastor? At Jesus' feet. Look at her in the gospel according to Luke. She's at Jesus' feet. Martha's getting the dinner ready. Mary's at Jesus' feet hearing his word. And then in Mark, she's at Jesus' feet and she pours the ointment on the Lord. And then in John, she's at Jesus' feet again. In Luke, she's at Jesus' feet to receive his blessing. In Mark, she's at Jesus' feet to give her best. In John, she's at Jesus' feet to bring her burden. Say, when you come to Jesus' feet to get his blessing, you'll have no trouble finding him when your heart is burdened. Here she is at Jesus' feet to bring her burden. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. She fell down at his feet. Her brother had just died. Now move over to verse 43. When he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! What brought that man back from the dead? The word of the Lord. Someone said it's a good thing Jesus said Lazarus. If he'd have just hollered, come forth! Every grave would have opened, the whole kit and caboodle would have come out. Good thing he named Lazarus. There'd have been a general resurrection. Lazarus, come forth! And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. He had life, but not liberty. Life, but not liberty. He was bound. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. I was reading only this week of an article in a magazine. I think it was at The Witness. I'm not sure. At your house. I believe it was yesterday. A preacher was praying for his guest preacher, as your pastor might have been praying. And he said, "Lord, we thank thee for sending the guest preacher to us, and now he's about to speak. Lord, loose him and let him go." That's a good prayer. Pray on a preacher. Can you pray on a preacher? I don't know whether I said that right. Loose him, let him go. Now, how do we know that Lazarus was raised from the dead? Chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Now watch. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. You go back to Luke chapter 10, when Martha is serving, and Lazarus is nowhere around. He said, "If that preacher's coming for dinner, I'm going down to the diner. I'm going to get me a Big Mac. I'm not staying here if the preacher's coming. I'm hightailing it out of here." That was before he had life. Now he has life. And you find him where the Lord is and the Lord's people. Say, have you been raised from the dead? Do you have spiritual life? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I was not born into a Christian home. I never saw my mother or my daddy inside of a church. In fact, I might have told you this. I do occasionally. I never saw a Bible in my home. If mother had a Bible, I don't know where it was kept. We children never saw it. My wife led me to Christ. And the day I passed out of death into life was the most wonderful experience I've ever had. There has never been another day quite like that one. Have you passed out of death into life? Have you received the Lord Jesus? Or will you be eternally separated from God, the second death? Oh, if you're not saved tonight, come to the Savior. "Him that cometh unto me," says God, "I will in no wise cast out." And oh, my dear Christian brother, sister, maybe you are not feeding on the Word of God. Maybe you are wasting time and you're using the eye gate instead of reading the Bible to bring a lot of garbage into your mind. You read the wrong books, the wrong paperbacks, look at the wrong magazines and the wrong TV sets, and you bring garbage into your mind, and you will reap what you have sown. But if we take time and allow the Holy Word of God to come into our minds and hearts, then the book begins to make us what we ought to be. I sat in the dentist chair for a long time this morning in the city of Philadelphia. I've known this dentist for many, many years. The Lord used me. He's Dr. Norman Schenck over in Beth Ayers there. You know him, Mrs. Stroud. Fine Christian. And he was just beginning to see the light some 20 years ago, just a young dentist starting out. And I used to go there and talk to him about the Lord. Now every time I go into that dentist's office, that man just pours out the Word of God. He's got something fresh, growing by leaps and bounds. He's 42 years of age now. And he said to me today, he said, "My, I'll never cease to be thankful for the day you started me and taught me how to study the book of Proverbs." He has memorized Proverbs, and he says, "Why, I found more help in the book of Proverbs than I ever knew existed." Feeding on the Word. His conversation is about the Lord. It's hard to get Christians to talk about the Lord today. Get Christians who want to talk about sports, want to talk about mutual funds, stocks, investments, their plans for their summer cottage. Who talks about the Lord? It tells us where the mind is, the things we're obsessed with. We begin to speak about him. It's a good sign we have life. And then the company we keep. Well, just some thoughts on how to raise the dead. May the Spirit of the Lord apply them to our hearts. And this little talk tonight was a challenge to my own life. I learned a few things from the Bible tonight that I want to make them live with God's help. Let us bow for prayer. Now it's 5 minutes before 9, and we'll be out of here by 9 o'clock. Now, it is not impossible. I said it is not impossible, and I'm not judging. It is not impossible that some of you have never been saved. If you die in your present state, I must tell you, dear friend, that you will be in the lake of fire forever according to the authoritative word of God. And God brought you here tonight to bring you face to face with the message of life. You can pass out of death into life tonight by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him as your Savior. Sitting there in your seat, you can say, Lord, I know I am a sinner. I believe Christ died for me. Tonight, I receive him as my Savior and my Lord. This could well be the last time anyone in this life will ever invite you to come to God through faith in Christ. If you haven't done it, do it tonight. And Christian, if you've been slipping, and we all do slip, inconsistency creeps into the life of every Christian at one time or another. If you're away from God tonight, come back. Come back. Back into fellowship and let God bless you, make you a blessing. Your home will be better. Your business will be better. Your life in your community will be better. Your whole outlook will be improved if you walk in fellowship with the Lord. I want to pray and close my part of the service. And before I do, I wonder if there is someone this evening. You came to First Baptist Church of Wantagh and you're not saved. And tonight you want to receive Christ as your Savior. I'd like to pray for you. Christians now are praying. Every Christian's head is bowed praying. I know that because Christians do that. I've been a pastor for 25 years. You see, my friend, if you're not saved, there are people here tonight who care whether you go to heaven or hell. You didn't know anybody cared? Well, they do. There are people here tonight who care whether you go to heaven or hell. It matters. That's why the church is here. And you can be saved tonight if you want to be. Now, is there someone this evening you would like to receive the Lord Jesus? While the Christians are praying, if you just slip up your hand and I can see your hand, and I'll remember you in the closing prayer. Is there someone tonight, by your upraised hand, you would like to receive Christ as your Savior? Anyone? Loving Father, we thank thee for making possible salvation for unworthy sinners such as we are. And we readily admit that if we received our deserts tonight, we would be in hell. But we thank thee for making a way of escape through the sacrificial death of our Lord Jesus. And in this holy week, when we commemorate the sufferings and death of the Son of God, Lord, give us a new appreciation of what it cost thee to redeem us. And, oh God, if there is someone here tonight who isn't saved, and this we do not know, thou knowest, Lord, we pray that tonight thou wilt bring them to Christ. And for any Christian who came to the meeting with a cold heart, an indifferent heart, a careless life, God, bring that one closer to thyself. May we all be better for having been here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it's...